14 regular rounds played, 12 wins, 2 losses, and an all-important bonus point. AO Manchester Thunder top the table and are league champions. Semi-finals and the final beckon. Get your tickets now. We march on. Welcome to Thundercast. Lindsay here, hello, and wowzers, hey, what a beater-buzzer final goal from Sophie Fawns to tie up the regular Netball Super League season with a win over Loughborough Lightning for AO Thunder. But we go again, and what a pod I've got lined up for you. I'm joined by AO Thunder and Netball Royalty as Tracy Neville shares her analysis. There's also a special secret guest on the way, but first, as the franchise celebrates 25 years, starting of course as Northern Thunder way back in 2001, all the way to AO Manchester Thunder as it is now in 2026, there's been one person who's seen it all. Player, captain, head coach, and franchise director, and now she's leading the team to the semi-finals and beyond. Karen Gregg is with me. Karen, brilliant to see you on the podcast.
Thanks, Lindsay. It feels like forever since I've been on, but it's also gone so quick. So, yeah, great to be back.
Oh, I bet it has. And, you know, the 25-year celebration, you were wearing the T-shirt at the weekend. We found your name, but just so much history. And I think that is... It's really important in the team each year, but it's sort of a special year this year, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, any kind of big year is one that you want to be able to celebrate. So, 25 years, definitely a huge one. And to be able to work with VX3 on the anniversary top was actually really good. And just to see how many names we add on there, you kind of read through it, and it certainly brings back some amazing memories and also kind of makes you really grateful for the journey that we've been on from 2001 when it was Super Cup to the inception of Super League in 2005, and here we are now in kind of on our professionalisation journey.
Absolutely, it was great. And we are going to just reflect, you and I, briefly on the season so far. And I say briefly, and it really makes me smile because it's the majority, isn't it, of the season, 14 rounds. And then suddenly you've got to reset and you've got to sort of go again towards finals. So just look back at the work that's been put in by this team and where you started, you know, the journey that you've been through. And now the reset. How do you approach the reset? Are you pleased with what you've seen from the 14 rounds?
Yeah, I'm, you know, ultimately super proud of where we've come from. I said in my interview with you post-game on Saturday was we have copped a lot of grief at the start of this season and even throughout the season, really, you know, people's expectations of us were really high and rightly so. We have signed a great squad. But there was just that realism, I think, at the start of where we actually were, where we were beginning, you know. And what I am really proud of is the work that we've all done to get them where they are today. So I think we can reflect from kind of Super Cup to now of, you know, how comfortable the girls are now in possession. The connections are definitely there. We've got 10 players in the group that are all happy in any combination that we can throw out at the opposition. And that's something that we've really worked on during the season, is to make sure we have used all of our players across as many matches as possible, because you don't ever want to become unstuck. Progress has definitely been made, and I'm super proud of where we've come.
Was there a moment, Karen, within your squad training this year, within the games this year, where you felt a gear change? Because I think that you're spot on. You know, when we looked at the signings that you'd made at the beginning of the season, everyone was very excited. You've got big names in there. You've got consistency in there as well, and a bit of magic. But then the opening of the season wasn't necessarily the sort of the Thunder way that we were used to. And I just wondered if you can remember as head coach sort of going, there, that's what I wanted to see, and when that came.
We actually had really open conversations after, I don't know what round, Pulse, I think it was round 10. So ahead of that London Pulse game at the M&S Bank Arena, and we sat in RPA suite before training, and I think Amy described it as a bit of a telling off, but it definitely wasn't that. That wasn't my intention. And I did tell them, I did say to them at the time, this isn't a rollicking. This is a very much, I believe in you. We believe in you. You've got to start believing in yourselves. Let's find that next gear. Let's, you know, keep pushing and demanding more from each other. And if there's going to be a time that we're going to find that next gear and we're going to push on and find that real intent piece, it has to be now. And, you know, I threw some harsh facts at them. And I think that's probably why it felt like a bit of a rollicking. You know, we sat down at the start of the season with our Thunderway, with our document, with our DNA of what we wanted to put out on the court. We have KPIs and stats in there that we want to achieve. We have non-negotiables in there that we want to hold ourselves accountable to. So that meeting pre-training that night was very much, this is what we agreed at the start of the season. This is where we're at. This is where we need to get to. And how are we going to get there as a group? And to be honest, the players didn't have an awful lot to say in that meeting. Like, you know, I actually said, does anyone want to input? And they all pretty much just sat there and just went, no, we're on board. And yeah, we're going to do it. And that, for me, the way they trained that week, you know, they've been getting some psych support as well, weekly psych support over the last kind of 6-7 weeks as well as a group. That for me was the shift. And to go out and put that performance at the M&S Bank Arena against a really strong Pulse team, I think they went out there, they did it. And that was just so exciting to see and just makes me proud that they were able to do that.
How do you then as head coach go, okay, brilliant, that's the turning point. Now each time I need to ratchet it up another little bit and another little bit. You know, is there points in your mind where you sort of set targets or maybe haven't reached them, or do you just have to take it week by week?
We're just taking it week by week, game by game, and just seeing what we can squeeze out of them. I've actually used the old analogy of this season, especially in the later rounds of, you know, when you've got like your toothpaste and you don't want to give up on it and you're squeezing that very last bit and you're sticking your thumb in the hole and you're like, I am going to get some more toothpaste out of this this tube. And we've kind of used that analogy a little bit of how can we squeeze that very last bit out of that toothpaste. So actually in our team talk at Nottingham a couple of weeks ago, Gabs bought all the girls and staff a mini toothpaste and was like, right, this is it, let's go. And we've just found something each week that we've picked up on in our game, pre-game chats, in the changing rooms. And I think the leadership group, Amy and the girls, have done a great job in that space. So, yeah, squeezing that toothpaste tube. Getting that very last bit out. And we're not quite there yet, Linds. We're not quite at that very last bit. We've got a couple more rounds of brushing our teeth to go before we'll be squeezing that last bit out. So
absolutely. And we've been told since we were children that brushing your teeth is very important. Exactly. So it's good. Yeah. But let's then look at the next stage of things and what is coming at you. So because you finished top of the league, you will go through to the major semi-final. Congratulations. It's a home major semi-final as well. And it's against London Pulse. So what I want to do, Karen, is just sort of look briefly at each possible opponent that's coming. Let's start with Pulse. The loss back in round one with that bonus. Then the 12-goal win in round 11. Pulse have been to extra time 3 times this season. They are the team that are featured in every extra time. What have you got in your locker? What do you think you need to do against Pulse?
Obviously, they're an unbelievable team. They've got some real quality from front to back in that group. And we know they can win ball. You know, we know that they can turn a game on its head real quickly. So we've got to make sure, again, very similar to what we put out against them last time, is just being comfortable in possession, making sure that we're working our angles really well, that we're not giving them opportunity to run at things and turn ball over. Doing our own jobs, sticking at the task in hand, running them hard, not letting them settle. We know they're a team that thrive on momentum shifts, so not giving them opportunity to get those momentum shifts will be really key. We've got to try and stifle them early, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's a big game. Then let's keep going. Let's think about Forest. It is possible that you could meet Forest if you were to lose the semi-final and they were to win their ones. Now, you put the blueprint down, didn't you? You know, back in round five, huge 25-goal victory. Then in round 13, I think it was the biggest goal margin that you put up this season. 27 was the difference, I believe, in that game. Where do you see your opportunity with Forest?
You know, we, again, Chelsea's done a great job and she's been very open, and you can tell with the style of play that they like to play. That speed is their best friend. So we've got to make sure that we don't allow them to generate that speed in attack. And then obviously around Super Shot time, we know Rolene is devastating. So we've got to make sure that, again, we really do the work. But we know they're injecting Anya. I think Anya played really well at the weekend against Pulse. She was dropping those super shots in as well. So they do now actually have a double threat in super shot time. So it's not going to be as clear cut as let's just stop Rolene. You know, you've got to make sure we're doing the job on them both. So we've got to work them hard. We've got to tire them out so that when they are taking those shots on, that we're putting them under as much pressure as possible and just starving them of that possession in those times. And that's something that we've been really working on.
Absolutely. You have said that to me in pre and post interviews right throughout the season. You've said comfortable in possession, comfortable in the uncomfortable and the super shot, and possibly using the clock and starving them. And we're seeing that from Thunder as well. I saw it in the Loughborough Lightning game. This is the last team we're going to look at because obviously you've just played them that super tight beater buzzer, but they beat you back in round 6 by 10. Obviously, they lost Jess Shaw early doors, didn't they, in the game? You know, what more can you do about against Loughborough Lightning? And obviously you're not going to tell us all the ins and outs, but, you know, just a sort of overview.
You know, they're a quality team. They've got a lot of experience through there. And I know Vic will be feeling it with the injuries and, you know, going through what we went through last year. And we haven't been untouched this year either. It's definitely hard, but they've got some real good structures that they obviously is kind of their DNA. So their players are all really comfortable. Doesn't matter who they put on the court. Their players are comfortable. You know, it's just cliche. Calm in possession, comfortable on the ball. Let's cut out the sloppy stuff, you know, and it's they set traps. Let's not get sucked into those. Keep our vision open. And you look at lost possessions in that game. We were on 20 and they were on 21 and we won by one. That, you know, it tells a story. That's how tight it really, really was. So having that belief that we can go out there and back ourselves and do it again, I think is going to be key.
Absolutely. Wonderful to hear you say that. Go on then. I've been contacting you through the season for stats and I've been particularly interested in the turnover to goal and your centre pass to goal. That is something that I find really interesting. Give me your favourite stat of the season, because I know you comb through them and there's so many ways of interpreting the game. Is there something that you're really proud of that has stood out?
I think the key thing for me around the stats is the improvement that we've shown from, you know, the second half, from the first half to the second half of the season. I know we spoke earlier in the year about how you attack it. And for me, I said like first half versus second half, it's always very different. So if you look at our kind of centre pass to shot, our target is 75%. We want to hit 75% there. And we're actually sat at 80. Our live turnover to shot, which is anything kind of a rebound or an interception or a pickup, anything like that's live in play. From the first half of the season, we were sat on 70% to shot. We're now sat on 80%. So that just shows that we're getting that ball through a lot safer. We're happier in possession. And we're getting the ball to our shooters.
We are coming towards the end. It's been brilliant to speak to you. I know it's a busy week, but I just wondered how important it is to have the coaching team around you, you know, those on the bench, the likes of Gabs Towell and Laura Malcolm as well, because it's tough being the head coach and being the leader. You know, what's it like to have them with you?
Oh, do you know what? Gabs and Laura, you couldn't ask for better assistant coaches. You know, those guys, they work so hard. Like, Gabs is our real sense checker. So, you know, her day-to-day life and her job and what she does, she definitely brings to us. You know, we might not have necessarily performed how we want to perform, and just reflecting on what did we do this week. you know, could we have done anything different? Could we have done anything better? What were our decisions in the game? Could we have been more efficient? What does that look like? And Gabs is our real challenge point in that. So I'm super grateful to have her there. And then Laura, honestly, she's so imaginative in what she does in training with that defence. And again, like me, she's, you know, she's pretty much Thunder through and through. She knows what it means to play for Manchester Thunder and the expectations and the levels that we expect. And she really demands from these girls. Like, she doesn't leave it just to me. She's happy to get stuck in and give them a talking to at the same time. She's here. Is that like on cue? Bring Laura in. Like,
yes. Yes, it was. It's my absolute pleasure to welcome Laura Malcolm to Thundercast. Laura, I hope
that was
you caught...
surprise. I saw a guest popped on at the bottom, but I didn't know it was Laura.
There you go. Laura, do you want to just come back on what you've just heard from Karen? I'm hoping you heard most of that because we've been trying to coordinate you jumping in, haven't we? But wow.
Yeah, no, it's quite nice. Nice little surprise there. A lot of love. Thanks. No, I've loved jumping in the coaching end at Thunder, and I do think we make a good team. Like, obviously, Karen, you know what you're doing and can plan stuff with your eyes closed. I feel like I've got a whole heap of things and then I have to figure out how to gather it all together. So I feel like I've just been learning heaps off you, heaps off Gabs. And then it's kind of fun throwing in my own little spice as well. So, yeah, we're a good little team, aren't we?
Yeah, we do all right. And yeah, we have a laugh as well, which I think is really important. Like, honestly, some of the stories we could tell you, but we won't.
Well, actually, Karen, because you've done the nice bit now. You know, you've done the nice bit, and all the team, they all say Karen is full on in training. You know, she makes us really train and really go for stuff. What does Laura do? You know, do they reflect about Laura in the same way? Are they like, oh, she's really harsh. She really pushes us.
We probably do, to be fair. Like I said, like Laura's been at Thunder for a very long time too as a player. So, you know, I think we thrive, I think, as a group on our expectations and demands of each other in that training environment. And if we're not getting what we need, you know, I'm more than happy for Laura to have that chat with the girls and tell them, you're not giving me what I need. And you know, she does that. So I think it's important that we all have those relationships with the players and can be demanding. And I think the players really, really respect that from Laura as well. You know, there's not anybody that's come to me and said, can I have a word about Laura? So that's good.
And let me ask you, Laura, and hi to Gabs as well, because it's brilliant to hear what she brings. She couldn't be on the pod this morning. But Laura, you've been there and you've done it as a player. And we've just been talking to Karen about the reset and going through into semi-finals and then working towards that grand final. Like, in terms of the defensive end and what you want to bring and what you're asking for the team, you know, the change, the new signings this year was in the attack, wasn't it? It was in the shooting end. So how do you keep motivating and keep surprising teams in defence?
Yeah, to be fair, I think we've just been building year on year. Obviously, things have changed in the attacking end, but we've had kind of consistency in the defensive end. So I think the way we've approached each year has changed, and it's not necessarily because we're trying to do anything different. It's more because we're trying to do things better. And there's things that we nailed last year that we haven't had to go over in the same extent this year. And we've just been able to just add extra touches on. So I don't think things necessarily change. We have got an incredible defensive unit. So it's just about allowing them to shine, getting the best out of them, figuring out which way allows them to feel confident and to feel clarity on what they're doing. And it's just been a build year on year, and it's not necessarily anything different. It's just getting better and better at what we do.
Can you give us a word on Nick Smith? Because obviously she didn't play in round 14. Is she going to be there for the final series?
Yeah, just in investigating what's going on with Nick at the minute. So we're still just seeing what that kind of looks like, really. So, yeah, hopefully we have her back. And, yeah, that's it.
Okie dokie. And that change that you made, bringing Amy Carter into wing defence, because Taylor McEvitt, my goodness me, what a season that woman has had. She's played her heart out on court. But it worked, didn't it, in the Loughborough Lightning game, just to move Amy across for that sort of the last section of the game.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree with Taylor. She's just been getting better and better year on year. And she has obviously got a very distinctive style. Amy's got a very different style. So it's quite great that we've got these kind of movements in our team. And I'd say that's pretty consistent with every position we've got on the team. We've got players that can slide across and offer something a little bit different.
Well, look, ladies, you've got to do the build again because we're to the reset. We're into semi-finals. Last couple of questions for you. Karen's had her moment. Laura, what's Karen like as a head coach?
Oh, God.
She is amazing. I think the best thing about Karen for me is, one, she does everything for these players. They probably don't even realise the extent that she goes to behind the scenes to make sure they have everything that they need on court, off court. And if any of them have got an issue or have need a bit of extra support, she'll be on it like a click of a finger, which in my opinion is what makes the Thunder environment very strong. It also makes Karen such an exceptional coach because a lot of people think about tactics, about the training, which Karen is obviously very good at. You don't do what she has done without being good at that. But what makes her that next level up is that personal relationship she has with everybody, and being able to hold that is pretty incredible. And it shouldn't go unnoticed because a lot of people don't have that or make the time for it. And she really does.
It's lovely to hear it. And there we go. That's all the love out the way. Now reset. Here we go. Let's get the focus on. Final question to you both. If you make the final at the Co-op Live, you know what's coming. Which team do you want to play? Laura, go first.
I have not a care in the world.
Excellent. Karen, who do you want to play?
I don't care either. If you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best. So we'll take anyone.
All right. I'm going to get a definite answer for this question, though. Thank you for that. Karen, if you win, where will you go on holiday?
Oh, well, I've got a few holidays booked.
I knew you would. That's why I asked it.
I'm going to Spain, then I'm going to Ibiza, then I'm going to Sardinia. So I've got a few holidays over the summer. So, yeah.
Oh, well, look, enjoy those. But also best of luck with the signing window, which literally starts the day after the final.
It doesn't start. It starts now, Lindsay. It's been starting for the last 2, 3, 4 weeks. We've got our little recruitment document that we ranked our players already, ranked all the players across the league, and we've got plan A, plan B, plan C, who we need to look at, who we don't. There's new names pop up on there every day, so trust
me. Well, look, I'm sitting next to my phone, Karen. When you reach the Z list, I'll be there. I'll be there. Right. Honestly, it's a pleasure to talk to you both. Thank you for your time. It's wonderful to see you, Laura. Good luck with the defensive side. Karen, best of luck for the reset and the final series. We will be watching like nobody's business. We can't wait. Best of luck. And thank you so much for joining me on Thundercast. It's been brilliant to see you.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Now it's time for Fanalysis, the part of the show where you, the amazing AO Thunder fans, bring me your fan analysis. Your thoughts on the season, the team, the tactics, your hopes and your dreams. We've had it all this season, from the likes of Runcorn Netball Club to Claire, Flo, Danny and Olivia, who I met when we recorded live at Bellevue, to friend of the pod, Ali Gardner, who's been keeping in touch from Luxembourg, no less. But this time, I've got something a little bit different for you. A special guest. Someone that knows the club inside out, knows the sport inside out, and has also been sitting in the crowd as a super fan on game day. It's only former England international, gold-winning Roses head coach and former Manchester Thunder head coach, Tracy Neville, MBE. Welcome to Fanalysis, Tracy.
Thank you. That makes you sound like a right geek, doesn't it?
I'm not sure I'd use the word geek. I mean, I think huge accolades. I was like, get them all in, get the MBE in.
I thought I had to wear the top. Are you impressed?
I love the top. So that is the 25-year anniversary top, isn't it? Manchester Thunder. And it's got Northern Thunder on one side, takes you back.
Oh, do you know, I, You know, when you look back over the memories, and they played a video before the game, before they handed it to me, and what an honour it was. And I just look back and you see the hair coach, you see the athletes that you used to coach. It was so funny. And, you know, just some of the great times that I had at Manchester Thunder, and probably one of my early coaching careers as well. So, you know, to have that heritage is always a pleasure, and to be part of it. And I think having season tickets this year, I have truly become a fan.
I've got to ask, because I've seen you in the crowd many a time, which is brilliant. Are you a relaxed spectator? You know, are you there enjoying the atmosphere, enjoying the game? Or are you there, edge of your seat, looking at the analysis of it all?
Do you know, when someone asked me this question, I did a conference at weekend around the game, Manchester Thunder v Loughborough, and someone asked me, you know, how do you observe, how do you analyse a game? And I said to him, I feel when you're a head coach, you don't really enjoy watching a netball game. I know that sounds really sad, because there's so many things you can watch when you're a fan. You know, you're into everything. You have an opinion on every little move, every drop ball, everything like that. But when you're a coach, you're particularly focusing on different things. And on Saturday, I actually loved it. I got back into head coaching mode because we were doing an observation task around the game. And what I'd done is I'd watched the last game, Manchester Thunder v Loughborough, and I'd come in there with like sort of 3 points that I knew Loughborough needed to do to beat Manchester Thunder, and 3 points that Manchester Thunder had to do to beat Loughborough Lightning. So I was just really focused in, and it sort of got that hunger back again, you know, that hunger about, you know, what you could do, what you would make changes in the game, because I had to then go and report on it the day after to about 60 coaches. So I think from two ways, I do go and really watch Manchester Thunder, and I obviously watch them on telly as well, home and away. But it's actually quite nice to get back into that sort of head coaching realm this weekend. So I think there's two ways that I can look at it. One thing I don't do is I don't give my opinion to Karen Gregg, because sometimes I'm thinking she doesn't need it.
So let me ask you, Tracy, those three points that Manchester Thunder needed to do to beat Loughborough Lightning, they did beat them. Did they do your 3 points?
Yeah, they did, actually.
Okay, what were they?
So one of the key things was in the last game, the connection between Sophie Fawns and Eleanor Cardwell. They probably made the most errors, and that was the feed into the circle. And I thought Sophie Fawns was one of the best games I'd seen her play, and I thought she was excellent. And I think they did it really nicely. They brought Eleanor Cardwell out the circle and worked to Sophie Fawns' strengths of getting her in. So Eleanor wasn't clogging that space. I thought that was brilliant. And I think that was when Thunder did make that changes at three-quarter time, I think we missed that sort of flow between them two shooters. The second thing was a lot of Loughborough Lightning's mistakes were made in the goal third when they last played them, which tells me that their pressure on centre pass attack defence wasn't strong enough in that first and second phase. And they needed one to create more passes, two to get the ball going back a little bit more. And you saw that Ella Clark got taken off the court because her impact in second phase wasn't as effective, and she wasn't getting into circles. So I thought Elia, Taylor McKevitt and Amy across that line, and that change from Amy into that wing defence was the right decision. So from my perspective as a fan analysis, I think they attacked the game really, really well. I think the one thing I would say, Manchester Thunder missed a lot of shots in the first game against them. So one of the key things for me for Loughborough, because obviously I was doing stuff for Loughborough as well, was that Loughborough had to be on the rebounds, because they do have a tendency to miss a lot more shots than. And that last one when Sophie Fawns got that rebound, I actually said to the coaches in the room the day after, I went, that would have irritated me more than losing the game. I was like, you know, that would have irritated me. If I'd have been Vicky Burgess, I'd have been going, I told you to get rebounds. So it was. They were all laughing their heads off at me, because these simple one percenters, you know, make a huge difference in games. And you know, that miss from Eleanor Cardwell, Sophie Fawns' shot, it was exceptional, by the way. Well, Sophie Fawns,
and it wasn't it.
Full credit.
Wasn't it exceptional? And what I commentated it. What a moment to commentate. You know, I sort of took a breath in, because she was falling out the back court. She put the ball up, the core strength to be able to do that. But also, Elle went for the two, didn't she, in the dying second, and they just needed the one. But maybe, you know...
I don't normally... It was funny, Jill Porter said, you don't like sitting on the sideline. I said, I need to sit on the sideline. I need to sit in a coach's position because I'm doing an observation task. And I remember when Elle went to take the two in that dying minute, and I was going, Eleanor Cardwell!
Do you know what, Tracy? She couldn't hear you because you were at the pitch where only bats could hear what you were saying.
And the fact that over the weekend, I think I've lost my voice as well. So,
big game.
Like, yeah, she would totally have been like, Eleanor Cardwell. And it's funny, afterwards, I saw her shooting at the post. I went, yes, you would be shooting at the post.
Well, look, it gave us a spectacular finish. It meant that Manchester Thunder finished the league in pole position, puts them into the major semi-final, doesn't it? And I guess what I also wanted to ask you, because that was a brilliant breakdown, is what else you've seen from the team this year that they are going to need in the next few weeks to get to Co-op Live? You know, have you seen them do enough against the likes of Pulse? Nottingham Forest are in there as well. And you've spoken about Loughborough Lightning. So what have you pulled out from the season that you think they're doing well? What do they need to do more of?
I think the first, let's talk through the process of the first stages. And you talked about, you know, Nat Metcalf, you know, just come back from pregnancy. I think she's really found her form now. Sophie Fawns had limited court time coming in from Suncourt Super Netball. So again, she's started to find her form. Eleanor Cardwell, you know, she's had some absolute, you know, heartbreaking injuries, and it's took her such a long time to come back. Didn't play much of the international season. Again, starting to find her form as well. And I think it is a team that is really finding their form. And I think Karen highlighted at the start of the year, you know, the limited time they'd had together through injuries, return of play athletes, international season. So, you know, if we'd have looked at this, you know, from when they played that opener, in Sheffield at the start of the season, you were like, where are Manchester Thunder going for there? I think what's really come strong through the Karen Gregg, you know, I didn't actually predict that that would be the starting seven she would have started with on Saturday, because the form of Eleanor Cardwell, Lois Pearson and Nat Metcalf is also a strong entity. You know, you saw how well they did against London Pulse in that combination. So
definitely,
I think to have a starting seven, and that starting seven could be anything, but also the ability to change it and adapt to that is really, really key. And against different opposition, I think what was great, what Karen Gregg and the coaching team did was, you know, yes, that starting seven has done well, but that doesn't mean to say we have to reward it. We play the opposition we're playing against. And I think they did that really, really well against Loughborough Lightning.
What is still to come for Manchester Thunder? Because you know now that the next section, all that work's been done. You've played 14 rounds and it's sort of like it goes back to ground zero and now you've got to start again and get to that grand final. What do you think is still to come?
I think, first of all, we have to say congratulations. They've won the league. That, you know, event. I would have predicted prior to the opener that they would win the league on paper. We talked about the team on paper, but we saw in the opening round that team on paper didn't get them results. So congratulations to Manchester Thunder. The second thing for me is who can dream that you'd have a grand final at the Co-op Live Arena in your home city? You know, what incentive for that, for the players, for the club, for Karen to be actually in that final? And I think that's huge for her and the players to say, you know, we don't want to travel far. We want to play every single game now at home. And that's what it feels like. So, and the fan base were unbelievable as well on Saturday in support. And that, you know, got them across the line. So, you know, if they can win on Saturday, they then, you know, get the opportunity to be able to really focus in on what that grand final is going to look like for them. And, you know, it's got to be, they've got to get there. Come on, AL Thunder.
Last two questions. What are the three things they have to do against Pulse? You told me about the Lightning side of things. What do you think Thunder need to do against Pulse?
Two things that if I reflect from the last game, what they did really, really well against London Pulse is they really separated that wing attack, goal attack connection, which enabled, you know, they had Maseko on the wing attack, obviously Kelly on, you know, unknown position. London Pulse have not explored that wing attack position. So from my perspective, you know, disjointing them, keeping them further apart is absolutely key. If it's Alyssa Scholes, potentially, you know, she's a ball handler. She gets every single ball. And the you know, you say to stop her getting the ball, I think there's a real great plan A and plan B for me. Do you stop her getting the ball on that first phase, which I think would be key for them? They did, you know, like a little bit like what Loughborough were doing to Lois. Secondly, if she does get the ball, which she is going to do that because she's very highly skilled, just ensure that she's got no one else to throw to. And I think that's key. The Fumi in the goal defence, quietening Fumi back down. I think their centre pass setups is really, really sort of the key entity. Can we take Fumi away from the danger zone? So take her away from any impact that she can make through the court. But also, can we isolate Eleanor Cardwell to play that one-on-one? Because Halle Adio plays a really tight one-on-one, which is, I think, to Eleanor Cardwell's strength. So actually keeping Fumi away from that backspace is key for them to get that feed in early. So,
brilliant stuff, Tracy. Final question then. Who's the biggest threat? Who do you want to see them play in the final if they got there?
This is really difficult because I really value what all the coaches have done to get to this stage. That's really difficult. Would I like a repeat of the game I saw on Saturday? Yes, absolutely. At the moment, Nottingham Forest, Manchester Thunder seems to be their bogey team. So, you know, unless they can change that around, they don't seem to have a good hit against Manchester Thunder. So for me, to get that fans there, to get engagement, you need good competition. And that at the moment is Loughborough, but I'm not saying that Chelsea Pittman hasn't got anything up her sleeve either. So yeah, I want Manchester Thunder to win. So at the moment, competitively, it would be Loughborough Lightning. Come on, Karen Gregg, don't let your mate down.
And that, ladies and gents, is where we're going to leave the interview. Tracy Neville on Fanalysis. What an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on Thundercast.
Thank you, guys. See you on Saturday.
And so we reach the final whistle. Thanks very much indeed to Tracy. That was fascinating. To Karen, of course, and to Malks for her surprise appearance. I really enjoyed that. It's been a massive season, hasn't it? And there is no question that it simply wouldn't happen without the brilliant support staff, the officials, the umpires, the pathway athletes, coaches, the new mascot, of course, everything that goes into the league. The incredible Thunder volunteers that make the match day sing. And of course, you, the fans. There is no question that you make the difference getting the squad over the line. I've seen it time and time again. So now is the time to get behind the team for the final big push. From Captain Carter to baseline bandit Pearson and the ever-hustling Huckle, the players, the team need you. Tickets for the major semi-final on Saturday the 6th of June are available now. You can use the code Karen for a discount. And whilst you're there, why not look beyond to the final at the Co-op Arena right here in Manchester as well. Links on how to get tickets for the semis and the final are in the show notes. As ever, if you fancy being on Fanalysis, get in touch. I really love hearing from you. Drop me a note. I'm Lindsay Chapman, presenter on Instagram. Thank you, as ever, for listening. What a season, hey. You've been right there every step of the way, and I'll see you at the big crunch matches over the next few weeks. Right now, though, I'm off to find some toothpaste to see what I can squeeze out of it. Will it be yellow, we ask ourselves? There's a question. See you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye. Thundercast was written and presented by me, Lindsay Chapman, and produced by Ed Heaton. It's an Aligned Media production for AO Manchester Thunder.